You can support this show at patreon.com/ASApodcasting. Hello, welcome back to Scummer Net Podcast 201. I'm Michael. I'm with Jess.
Hey, Michael. Greetings, everybody.
Throwing everybody off. Juan.
Hello.
And Ray.
Hey.
And we're not talking Skyrim. We're talking Oblivion. And we're finishing the Thieves Guild today. Starting with Springheel Jack and the Ultimate Heist. I believe were the two quest names. Yes, Ultimate Heist. So we're back in Oblivion, joining the Gray Fox on his quest to eventually get rid of being the Gray Fox. Because apparently he's sick of it. So there is that. Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's been a while since we did Oblivion. I don't even remember. It was before Anniversary Edition came out, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because yeah,
probably last episode, end of October, maybe.
Yeah, stupid Anniversary Edition came out, and I've still been playing my survival character that I set up that I've been lightly modding on Xbox.
Yeah, I haven't been back to find a bed to sleep in.
Oh God! Oh, that's right. You had to. Yeah.
Yeah, it was probably six or seven levels.
Oh man.
Yeah, I was listening to another podcast and he had his mom on there and she was making like the decisions, and it kind of motivated me to start a Skyrim character. So just basically go on vanilla with all the with basically whatever is added on and just discovering stuff as it comes along. It's been I've actually been enjoying it. It's been so long since I've actually just played a regular run the Skyrim.
Yeah, well, there's a with the Creation Club stuff, there's so much that you'll actually find that you've never seen before, even at low levels, you know.
Yeah, lots of new loot.
Had to fight an orc who just destroyed me.
Oh, the old orc.
The necromancer.
Oh, there was an orc necromancer.
Yeah, he's like start because they're talking about a necromancer.
Oh, yeah.
It's just something that was added. I know that one was added for sure.
Yeah. No, I know what you're talking. That's the I forget what it's called, but there's like they're raising the dead all over the place. So there's like hordes of undead everywhere.
Yeah. So I started that one because it got a little note. So I'm like, oh, let's go check this out.
I think that's the one that added like mort flesh and stuff to the game. Didn't it add mort flesh, or was that a mod? I think it added.
I don't know. I haven't seen the mort flesh. Maybe it did because I know.
Yeah,
mort
I flesh think
it's from Oblivion for sure.
Yeah. I think they added some like Oblivion stuff to it, like the mort flesh to it.
Mm-hmm. Hope it doesn't have the headless zombies and the fat zombies.
Oh God. they need to add.
Always scare me.
Yeah. Well, it's so hard to see and see them in Oblivion too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had added Lux to Skyrim, the mod, and I couldn't see anything at all.
You played with it for what, like 2 weeks? Or?
Yeah, I would go into caves. Like it wasn't bad, like because the sunlight comes like right in into my face while I'm playing. So at that point of the day, for like that 2 hours, I literally can't see anything on the screen. Because like my eyes are adjusted to the sun hitting me in the face, and then the screen is basically pitch black, and I'm like, I don't even know. Like I walked into like 4 enemies at one point, just because I couldn't even see them
at all.
Yeah, I mean it is a much more realistic lighting situation. Even in the what's the bandit area where there's like the drawbridge? It's like a big. It's on the north coast, a big cave interior with the big wooden.
Oh, the cave with the rack. Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, there's a big like wooden structure where there's the captain up in his bunk room up there. I forget what it was.
Somebody's grotto.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one for Broken Oar.
That sounds correct.
Yeah, yep. Sounds
part, good. Yeah, it's part of the quest where you have to light the or turn off the tower light, right? To make the one ship crash.
No, it's similar to that one though. Or is that the same one? That's where you follow what's his name to the end and fight him or something. The one who gives you the quest.
Yeah. Definitely Broken Oar Grotto. I did check.
Okay, it is Broken Oar. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think
the Argonian from the Winking Skeever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you fight him and then you have to go get his sister or something.
Yeah, she's out by one of the shipwrecks, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. I'm confusing my quest.
Well, they're very similar locations. Like you're going through those long interior caves with water along them the whole way and all that. Mm-hmm. This is the one that opens up into the big like grotto area where there's like a three-story structure.
I just thought it was a different quest because basically it's like a broken boat inside the grotto, right?
In that one, yes. Not in this one, yeah. I think, right? No. Oh, maybe. No, when you go in this one, there's not. In the other one, there is.
The reason you can't remember, Michael, is because you couldn't see a thing in there. It was too dark.
It was pitch black. Yeah, even in that one, even in the big open area, I couldn't see anything. So I'm like, all right, I need lighting. Because I can't see anything at all.
I came in and pulled an Afghan off the couch and just like covered the windows, tried to make pitch black sometimes. I know the feeling.
It was just so dark. I was like, this is just not going to work. I got it. And I was using, like, I would carry a torch and use candlelight, and I still could barely see anything.
Oh, wow.
Like, and I was throwing mage light just so I could see people, like, randomly running around. I went into the one ship by the Solitude Lighthouse. What is that called? Where the Corsairs are or whatever. The ship that's the one that's docked right below Solitude
Dainty
Light.
Slowed.
Yeah, Dainty Slowed. That's it. I went in there, and when I went inside, I couldn't even see in the downstairs. So I was like, all right, this is a problem. now I can't see it all.
You know, it's partly the lighting in your house, and Lux is just really dark in the caves.
Yeah, yeah. It was dark in the ship, and then in the caves, it was just like, all right, I can't see anything. Which, if I was a Khajiit, it would be great. I could use the Night Eye. I could, you know, kind of play with that a little bit. But, yeah.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it was too difficult. So I've just been sticking with my survival character. I've branched out a little bit to attacking bandits because I'm sick of them attacking me along the road as I travel looking for ingredients. as I now work my way into smithing and enchanting and selling my stuff, I think eventually I might go into the quests because I want to try that other Helgen mod that I found where it rebuilds Helgen, but along with the, it kind of follows your progress in the main quest and the Civil War and gives you quests based off of that. I forget what it was called. Well, it's not Helgen Reborn. It was called something else.
Yep. Yeah, we talked about it a bit last week.
Yeah.
It sounds really cool. Okay, here's a question for you. Dark caves. Do you prefer like mage light style spells or candlelight style spells to light up the dark?
It depends. Like it, because I use archery, I like mage light because you can throw it where you want them to go.
Okay, yep.
And they run towards it.
And then, I never thought of that.
And then they're off in the distance running through it, so you can kind of see them, whereas the candlelight lights you up, obviously. So it creates danger when you're trying to hide.
So you want to be able to see, but keep the light away from you so you're not like highlighting, like, here I am, shoot me.
Yeah, the problem is when it's pitch black, you don't know where to throw the mage light because it's so dark.
Right, you can't see where the walls are.
Yeah. So I threw one and the ceiling was super high and I'm like, it just kept going and going and going. And I'm like, well, that was not really helpful.
Or you ended up hitting a dwarven centurion right in the head with it.
Yeah, like, oh, just
there you are.
Not helpful at all. I was like, that did not work the way I wanted it to. But regardless. Ray, have you been playing at all or?
Not really. Just Oblivion.
Just Oblivion.
Yeah, because that's really the only thing I play on Xbox.
Oh yeah, gotcha.
It was actually a benefit to be an Xboxer.
How weird is it to say that, Ray?
Super.
Just oblivion.
Yeah, both playing on Xbox and playing Oblivion. Not something I thought I'd be doing a year ago.
Are you doing a lot of...
Oblivion's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, have you been doing other stuff with the character, I guess?
I was doing the Mage Guild.
Oh, okay.
Although I think I might have got kicked out.
Yeah, there is a note about that at the end of this second quest here that we can discuss.
Yeah, I haven't gotten back to make it official, but yeah, I think I might.
You're pretty sure you got kicked out. Yeah, I know exactly the part you may have got kicked out on.
Do you get kicked out or do you get suspended?
I don't know.
Because
I think it's technically suspended, right?
Yeah, because when I was doing the arrow, I went in and I could not sneak to save my life, so I got attacked by everything, including the mage in there, and ended up killing him. And then I got the warning, and I'm like, "Ah, crap!" So I just went ahead and just went back to an old save and started over.
Yeah.
Yep, suspension from the Mage's Guild, but I know you can get back in because I have. So.
Yeah, I figured you could. It was, it didn't seem like that dire of a message. So,
yeah, I think I might actually have been suspended before we even started these two quests from the last one that Juan's talking about, from the arrow extraction one.
Yeah.
I may actually have been.
Now, I know they send you on fetch quests and stuff to get reinstated, like collect things for the masters, etc. If you're the guild master, can you still get suspended? Does anyone know?
That's a question for Colin.
Good question. Am I completely finished?
Yeah, if you're the Archmage, can you get suspended? I think probably you can't get like permanently kicked out if you're the Archmage. That's my guess, but I don't know because I have never been permanently kicked out.
Yeah, neither have I. I don't know. Can you get permanently kicked out?
If you're not the Archmage, I think you can. Yeah. I think you'd be like three strikes or four strikes and you're out.
Oh, then you're completely out. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. That's true. I mean, if you just, because eventually they're going to run out of fetch quests for you to.
Which would be awful because you couldn't do any spell making anymore. You know, if you like doing custom spells and such.
Yeah, that was the reason I joined. was to do that and enchanting.
Yep. They get you in with the custom spells every time.
Yep.
I thought if you got the add-on of the Mage Tower, you had spellcrafting and stuff in there.
Oh, is there at the town?
Yeah.
That's possible, yep. Yeah.
I think you're right. You have your own everything there. Enchant items and spellcrafting altars, everything.
Yeah, so then you wouldn't
need... Fortunately, I can't download it. It won't let me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is, but...
Yeah, it's weird. Me. I have some issues with the downloads, too. I don't know why, and I own them all, but...
Yeah. Well, it won't even let me buy it.
Oh, really?
Are y'all both playing through Xbox?
Yeah.
Because I do feel like if you go into the manage games and you can find stuff there and via the manage menu, you can sometimes download stuff you already own.
Yeah.
Otherwise, certain things need to be bought through the actual game interface because they're on 360.
Yeah.
It is strange buying 360 DLC.
It is.
But it can be done.
I have the Game of the Year edition, so I should have everything.
Oh, yeah.
But I might be playing it through Game Pass also.
Oh.
So it's very confusing. That's the problem.
Mine says Game Pass as well.
Yeah.
And I have the disc in there. So
yeah.
I'm confused.
I think it creates some kind of weird issue because it's on Game Pass.
Mm. Well, I'll take a look at my settings and see if I can figure them out because I definitely have it installed with all the Game of the Year stuff.
Nice. Yeah. So did I before it was on Game Pass too. That's the weird thing. I think they're all there though. I don't know. I'd have to look. Because this character, I haven't really been doing much outside of our things that we're doing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I did do the mages just to have that stuff. But yeah, I didn't want to go too crazy with it or go through the main quest and then have to do all that stuff.
To hear you're joining us in Skyrim 1. That is awesome. I'm glad it sucked you back in like the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, what do we say? We had like over 6,000 hours in Skyrim.
Oh, everybody, probably.
I mean, if we talk about like all the round tables and everything, I think we're in the 7,000 to 8,000, maybe 10,000 hours in Skyrim.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I needed a long break.
Because I'm 2,000 hours in Skyrim, and I didn't buy it until SE came out.
Yeah.
And that doesn't even count the hours, you know, doing your load orders and everything else.
No. Yeah.
So all those hours don't even count, putting everything together, getting it working, and all that.
Yeah, add at least 10% to every playthrough.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah, I've kept it modding on Xbox pretty basic this time. I did do a new lighting mod that's much brighter. I forget what it's called, but I switched out my lighting mod.
Ultralux.
Yeah. I did add the lanterns along the road as well, because they're nice. Yeah,
I think the only thing that I don't like about playing vanilla is not having Ordinator.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I get that.
I love Ordinator. A lot of the perks and stuff just makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually using the vanilla perks this time.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. That's why I'm like, why can't I do this?
I just think because I was doing alchemy, and for alchemy, I think the perks are a little too heavy in Ordinator. Okay. You learn the stuff a little too quickly.
I can see that. They do try to make it easier.
Yeah, it like you. You get the four effects pretty low level, relatively.
I think once you're maybe level 30?
Yeah, it's pretty quick in Ordinator as compared to Vanilla. I think it might be level 60 Vanilla.
Talking about hours in game, since we went there, I actually just did a meme an hour ago. You guys might have seen some of the articles from. About Dead by Daylight, the new zombie game coming out. Dead by Daylight 2, actually, is the one coming out next. Or Dying Light 2, that's it. Anyway, the developers last weekend announced that there'd be 500 hours of gameplay. And there were a lot of places saying, oh my God, 500 hours, that's way too much. I don't want a game taking that much time. There were articles on it and everything. And then, of course, they clarified. They're like, well, that's if you want to do everything. If you just want to do, a semi-completionist or just finish the main story, you're looking at 20 to 30 hours or maybe 50 hours. So it was the outburst was really amusing to me. So there was an article on The Guardian, is 500 hours too long in a game? So I just did a meme because us Bethesda fans, 500 hours, that's an appetizer.
Yeah. I think most people do more than that, are probably over 1,000. But the funny thing is the people that just kind of come in and just play, they play the main quest and oh, I beat Skyrim. What?
Yeah. I beat Skyrim. That is so funny. But and it takes all kinds, it is great people who just want to play the main quest or just play for the story and not discovering and doing everything. Right. It's all valid, but when you become a Skyrim addict, you just, you live there.
Yeah. Cause I'll sit there and I'll see the YouTube videos. Oh, five things you may have never seen in Skyrim, this and that. And I go, ooh, maybe something I haven't seen. Oh, I saw that. Oh, yeah. That was my first playthrough. Oh,
Every once in a while, they do show new things or references, though.
Because, every once in a while, there's that one thing you're like, oh, mm-hmm. I never saw that. Because there is so much to Skyrim. And it seems like every time you play it, it's a whole different game.
Not
completely different, but there's so many different ways to play it that it makes it different.
And sometimes you can even see things without seeing the connections. People who play Skyrim who have played Oblivion or Morrowind might catch things and references that, they didn't. So they go back and play, and there's still more to discover that way, too. Or pop culture, because they do slip some pop culture references in there, that you may not catch the first time.
That's true. Yeah, speaking of playing a lot of time, I don't know how I might have almost as many hours in Oblivion as I do in Skyrim from way back and until now. Just thinking about time in game. Thankfully, Xbox never counted the hours like Steam and other things do. So,
you used to be able to get it through the app, but you can't really see all that now.
Thankfully.
Unfortunately. Thankfully.
Well, one nice thing about ESO, though, is it tracks per character. And since I have 18 characters, it's I can't tell exactly how much time I have on the game. for ESO.
That's funny that it doesn't tell you an overall time for all your characters.
Yeah, unless there's a way to do it, but yeah. I just choose to look at one character, and that's fine.
Yeah, it probably keeps the total up there until you get to about 500 hours, and then it cuts it off.
Yeah.
You don't really want to know the thing
on some of the statistics, when you load a new character, it removes some of them, like on Fallout and sometimes Skyrim, locations discovered, stuff like that. It only shows your current character on your statistics, not the overall.
Oh, yeah.
But well, Oblivion as much as Skyrim? Probably not, Michael. I've probably got 600 to 700 hours in Oblivion.
And yeah.
Well over 1,000 or two in Skyrim.
Yeah, I played it a lot when it came out. So, I mean, I don't know if I played, yeah, probably not as much as Skyrim, though, when it came out, because I don't think I did the multiple characters. I just did one character mostly that fully went through, like, everything for a long time and just kept going and going and going. And then, you know, the DLCs and all that dropped. So maybe not quite as many as Skyrim over this time. All right. Well, I do have the notes up, so I guess we can hop into Boots of Springheel Jack. It took me a few minutes to get used to my character again.
Yeah, every time.
Yeah. What do I have on
it? Oh my god, I had no idea where any of the spells were on the D-pad. I'm like, I'm just hitting everything. Like, I have no idea what's anywhere. I don't remember what I saved where or what I favored it where. I still have my scamp that I use a lot. It's a good summon scamp. It's a good conjured friend to have. And thankfully, I found the chameleon armor prior to one of the other quests. I forget where I found it at. I found it at some random fort or something on an enemy. And that's been that did me well in this this run, I will say. So when we start out, Amuse, he finds you wherever you may be, whatever city, whatever random city. And you have to go to Chaiden Hall to get Rendell's house and meet up with the Gray Fox. I think that's, what, 800 gold you have to have fenced at that point or something like that? Yeah.
800.
Surprised it's not more.
Yeah, me too. It's not a lot because, I mean, I fenced 1,000 pretty early, pretty quickly. You think for a quest of this size, they'd be like, we really need to know you're a thief. Like,
I feel like they should like double or more every goal for here.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to show that you're a master thief, because I mean, if you break into the right location, you get into a good smithy, you can fulfill the entire, you know, goals within like two sessions.
Pretty quickly. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To only go up 200 each time is not a lot, really.
I mean, unless they expect you to be like a petty thief where you're just taking silver goblets and
hundreds of silver goblets. let's see. So the Gray Fox, he tells you the tale of a famous thief, Springheel Jack, who died 300 years ago and was put to rest still wearing his enchanted boots. Allegedly. And then of course your quest is to find Jack's final resting place. It lets you know the only known descendant is the Earl of Imbel, who goes by the name of Jackbin and lives in the Imperial City somewhere. So you of course elicit your crew of beggars around town, and if you speak to one of them, they'll kind of let you know. Apparently there's a second source of information too, which I did not know, outside of the beggars. Certain days of the week, there's Gamelus Axius roams around the market district, and he's the servant from the house.
Yeah.
That's why. Okay.
Yeah, he works for him.
And he'll let you know the same information as the beggars, and also kind of like let it drop that he has a rare skin condition that forces him to sleep during the day.
Yeah.
So there's two ways to actually find out. The most likely way is the beggars, but I guess randomly you could come across him, or if you know the quest line and purposely want to do it that way, you could come across him. But yeah. So his house is in the Taos Plaza, kind of like on the inner circle, I believe. Did we lockpick his door or spellcast his door? Because that was a hard lock on his house, right?
Yeah.
I picked it. I was fine. I had 75 lock picks, so I was good.
Yeah, I had to lock pick it too, and it was not too bad the first time that I did it.
Oh no!
Did you not save, or did you get caught immediately after?
The guy that you were talking about, his assistant.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Don't kill him.
Oh no!
You think we're already doing the Dark Brotherhood quest line, don't you?
man!
So, I mean, in my defense, there's, you know, so I had to replay this quest several times for various screw ups along the way. But so the first time I went and, you know, broke into the guy's room and then found the journal, and he told me to go, you know, it says to go to find him. And so I'm running around, and then this, you know, this guy comes up, and I talk to him, and he gives me a key, and it, you know, it's the Earl. And then he's like, he's hunkered down. He's afraid of me. And so I just, I walk away and head to the next lock. And as soon as I open the lock, he comes in the room with me and then starts attacking me and ended up killing me.
Oh.
And because I didn't know what was going on. So the next time, after I talked to him, he and this other guy are in the room. And so I figure, okay, well, I just have to kill them both. So I killed them both. And, you know, come to find out I wasn't supposed to. But, you know, I figured, no big deal.
Oh, you know, man.
I got a lot of cash. I'll just pay the blood price. But first let me take these boots to the Gray Fox.
Oh, you can get the boots off him if you kill him there?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But evidently there's a bug. And so he essentially says, you know, I don't want to talk to you. Thanks for the boots, but, you know, go away, leave me alone. And it says that you have to go pay the blood price. And so I went to Skarava and, you know, talked to her and, you know, finally figured out, you know, which one of the dialogue. I mean, there isn't one that just says pay blood price.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm fishing around, but then I get this little message up in the corner of the screen that says you owe 0 gold.
Huh.
I'm like, what? That's weird. So there was no option to pay the blood price. And it, you know, it was saying that I didn't know anything. So I went back to the Gray Fox. It says, go away, leave me alone.
Oh. I'm like, interesting.
Ah, okay. Shit.
Oh, man.
So if you had it gone to try to pay the blood price first, do you think it would have worked? And then you could have done that and then turned in the boots, or you just don't know?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Because the only save I had was out in front of the door.
So you had to go through the door again.
With the hard lock.
Oh, God. Oh. Yeah. So, that's
much
not
better
great.
The third time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it wasn't bad. I went in, I snuck upstairs pretty easily and then snuck up. They were both in the upstairs before you go up into his quarters or whatever. So I snuck up those extra steps and broke into his quarters, read the thing, and then came downstairs and talked to him. So then, of course, he sent me down to the crypt in the basement. So you go down into that was his study. You get the book that's on the genealogy, and then you face him, and he sends you down to the tomb. So I went under there. The first time I got all the way into the tomb, and kind of triggered a bunch of vampires and stuff that are down there, and also got arrested while I was down there. I think for breaking into the house.
Yeah, so I got arrested when he was following me.
Yeah.
Because every time I'd pick a lock and go through a door, he'd follow me in. Mm. And then about the third door in, the guard finally made it in from the street.
Yeah.
And busted me. So.
And those Imperial guards are tough.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he busted me in Springheel Jack's tomb.
Oh, yeah.
In that room.
Wow.
I'm like, all right. And so by then I had completely screwed up and had to start over anyway because I was dead, so it really didn't matter. Yeah. So basically he tells you to go down to the basement and go into the creepy crypt. It is of course recommended that you can either lockpick really well, have a lot of lockpicks, have the skeleton key, or have the spells.
Yeah. I've got the spell that does easy and very easy, but I just at the end of this series of quests, I finally got to level 50 in for alteration. Average.
Yeah,
and so now I should be able to go by the average.
Oh, nice. Good. Well, apparently, Gamalus also has a key that will open some of the locks.
Yeah.
In the tomb.
That's actually the way I did it because I broke in at night. I figured I'd wait till he left, and then I broke in at night, and then I was kind of sneaking around, and I saw he was sleeping, so I picked his pocket, and I got the key. Only the key, because I'm always afraid to grab more stuff. And so that opened up most of the doors, except for the one that said needs a key.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah.
But I did find the genealogy, and it said, well, maybe with a little convincing, I can get him to let me in or tell me where he's buried.
Yeah.
Because the book doesn't say anything. So I stood by the door and I saw him coming and he went right through me.
Oh, really?
The house. So I had to turn around, go in the house, and I talked to him, and that's when he was cowering and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And he handed me the key. Then I went downstairs. I guess he was expecting all the vampires down there to take care of me.
Yeah, I think that's the gambit. Is like he's just like, I'll just send him into the crypt. He's not going to come out anyway.
Yep. Reasonable expectation, yeah.
Yeah, that way I don't have to dispose of him in any way.
Yeah, because I managed to get all the way to the matron and killed her, and I opened the his coffin, and all I found was the journal. And as I was reading the journal, and then. I finished reading the journal and then he ran at me.
Yeah, yeah.
But by that point, you already know that he's a vampire because
there's vampires everywhere.
Well, that and the journal.
Oh yeah, the journal.
The
yeah,
journal tells you.
Yeah,
and I think he's probably over 800 years old or something.
Yeah, he's old enough to forget things for sure.
Yeah. And yep. So and then I just managed to get the whatever it was I was supposed to get. Oh, the boots.
Yeah. Yeah, I got in, and the second time when I didn't get arrested, I ended up just sneaking past everyone. Got in there, read the diary, which there's like a couple entries in it, and he remembers the man who was a great thief, dared to steal from Nocturnal. What was the other thing? Second entry was, I begin this second entry in the second volume of my diary on a momentous day. Actually, it is night, the night when my second life begins. So that must have been when he became a vampire.
Yes.
Yeah. I am Nosferatu, a vampire. Tonight is the first night of eternity. And then 13 years later, finds it again. and then 89 years later, and yeah, so you get,
yeah, and he wasn't really loving eternity as much as he thought.
Yeah, he was getting a little a little over it.
And then I think on the final one he said, I don't even dare to calculate how many decades it's been, but
yeah,
he said he found new life.
Yep. Yeah, because he's basically just trolling the city, eating people at that point. I seem to recall having a famous partner, but his name escapes me no matter. I've grown beyond the friends and partners. So I snuck in, and then if you've played through the quest before, you obviously know Jackman's coming, or whatever, Springhill Jack, whatever you want to call him. Mm-hmm. It's coming as soon as you close the stupid journal. Of course, the first time you play it, it's like, what the hell? Because he's pretty, he's got some pretty good gear and usually a pretty good weapon on him to take care of you. So I have a bow and I have a lot of poisons that I've made. So I use my poisons and my bow. That's generally how and my scamp just to kind of distract people. Which in the next quest, I actually used the scamp a lot, not as to fight, but to distract things. So. That's after you kill Jackman, that is where you get the boots. So he's definitely a surprisingly tough battle, especially because like I snuck through, so the other vampires were still alive. So I had to kill him within the tomb so they didn't get triggered. So I had to kind of let him, I had to like kind of kite him all the way in. Otherwise, like,
at least see you?
What's that?
Did the matron see you or?
Nope, just him.
Because I thought, okay, nice.
Yeah, so it's just him. Because I was far enough in the back, like you know how it's like a T shape when you go in. So I went all the way to the whatever side, to the right, I guess, or whatever. So I wasn't near the door. So thankfully, I was able to somehow not alert everybody else in there because that would have been a complete mess.
Fortunately for me, with sneak and my bow, I was able to take out all the vampires, and it was kind of a drag because in there the first time I went through there, I ended up with two dwarven bows, which were better than my silver bow.
Yeah.
And so when I went through the third time, nobody had a dwarven bow.
Oh man. Yeah, I
you're still fairly low level then.
Yeah, I'm level. I think I just so I've leveled up twice during these two quests. So once during this one, and then once during the next one.
Okay.
And so I'll be level 10.
Oh wow! Okay. Yeah, I'm level 17, which is still pretty low.
All really low for this, you know, the end of this quest line for sure. But yeah. We're focusing on just one guild instead of, you know, all of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Changes it.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So after you get done, you go back to Garendel's house and, or Garend Red Hell's house, whatever, however you say it. And, of course, you know, Grey Fox is there. He says capital. He takes the boots. And, you know, you have to then fence 1,000 gold for the next. Next quest, which of course will be the ultimate heist. So, that one's not super hard, except for the end with the vampires are pretty hard, especially if you're just a thief. They're pretty significant enemies to get through. But
picking the locks can be hard if your skills aren't up there yet.
Yeah, for sure.
Otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, because there's a lot of hard locks and stuff to go through.
There's
so.
A lot of-
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think between both quests, I burned through like 12 or 13 lockpicks picking every door. So not too bad. I had a few that I burned a couple, and then the rest I was pretty good on. But yeah, the ultimate heist, you are picking a lot of locks. So
I think I used 50.
I can easily see that. Yeah, there's several hard locks, but so Amuse finds you again. You go to Othrello's house in the Imperial City. I believe that's in the Market District, if I'm not mistaken.
Elven Gardens.
Oh no, Elven Gardens. You're right. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking it was at the end where those shops are, but it's in the Elven Gardens. So you find out you now need to steal an Elder Scroll. And that this will be the most dangerous task, and you have to be prepared. And also there no blood price on this quest.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. I didn't kill anybody though, so there's that.
Me neither. I was afraid to.
Yeah, I was afraid to like alert people. Yeah. But yeah, so you get the arrow of extraction back. It's fixed. You get the boots back, and you're sent off on your quest. Basically, you have to go. First, you go to the palace basement for to go to the Glass of Time to start to open the entrance to the Old Way, which then allows you to get into to the where the hell is it held? The library. To be able to sneak in to get to the library to get it all scrolled. So the Glass of Time is in the palace basement. So you can go in actually the front door of the palace, weirdly enough. Then you have to sneak in this part? You go through that part, sneak then you have to sneak into the basement from there.
Yeah, once you can go around the first, section without problems, but if once you head down to the basement, then
that's when you're in the area you're not supposed to be. Busted. Yeah. So you sneak down there, and then you have to go all the way around again, and then I was thinking about sneaking up behind the monk. That's later on. That's the other part. It's confusing because they're all circles. It's all just circles.
Yeah.
The first part and the last part are circles. So, yeah, basically you sneak all the way around again, and you'll see a giant hourglass, and you touch it, and it tells you it opens up a way to get to the Old Way. And then you sneak back out again. But apparently there is a glitch, and if you skip this step, you can head straight to the power sewers anyway.
Oh.
So apparently that's something too as well. Going through the city sewers, you have to enter through the arboretum. There's a tunnel there. Go below the bloodworks and then connect into the palace sewers. But these are all pretty long.
They are.
It's quite a long way.
Incredibly long.
Yeah. This is a long, long way to get from one side to the other. And then there's a couple of gates and stuff you have to open too, go into different areas if they aren't opened up and go back again.
Where you have to pull the levers and stuff in the sewers, right?
Yeah. Turn the wheels or whatever. And yep. So you get into the palace sewers by unlocking it with the Imperial sewer key. It's basically another sewer lid inside the sewer that you go down further into the palace sewers. And then you go through the Old Way and then through the Lost Catacombs. These are all very long, dungeon crawl, basically.
Can I say that the length of it adds to how epic it feels, though?
Yes, it does.
Many quests are quicker than you expect in the Thieves Guild. You get to a location, you go through a room or two, you steal something. This one sticks out in my memory, and I didn't get to do it for the roundtable this time, as I told you guys ahead of time, but this sticks in my memory as one of my favorite, most epic quests in Oblivion because of the length and, slowly overcoming each area. So I think I like that.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it should feel like that because you're stealing an Elder Scroll.
Yeah.
It's not like in Skyrim where it's like, oh yeah, here you go.
Yeah, here's five Elder Scrolls. Here you go. Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. The length and difficulty of the crawls really adds to it for sure. So the Old Way is kind of like half sewers, half kind of like when you leave the prison cell in the beginning, has that kind of feel to it. Then the catacombs is more alien ruin, right? That section.
Yeah. The Hall of Epochs and the Iliad Catacombs.
Yeah, those are kind of like alien or are alien ruins, essentially. So after you get through the Old Way and all that into the Lost Catacombs, that's where you get to this big open room. We're downstairs. There's a set of stairs going up on the left, but half the stairs are missing. And that's when we find out why we need the boots of Springhill Jack. How long did everybody realize to put on the boots right away? Or
yeah, because the
it triggers
the quest
it,
told
right?
me to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just did it.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea what was going on.
And then there's two buttons up top. I believe one disables something like Dark Welkin stones or something, and the other one opens a gate, I believe. So, and that's how we get to the Hall of Epochs. But through most of that, I did you have to fight your way through? I was able to sneak through almost all of it, except for like crabs and stuff, you know, stupid things.
Yeah, I killed the rats and the crabs and the skeletons and the zombies.
Yeah, there is a bunch of undead. I avoided fighting most of the zombies and skeletons just because I didn't actually have a lot of arrows on me. I had like 60 silver arrows, but I only had like maybe 15 elven arrows. And the silver aren't that strong, really. So it would have been kind of a grind. And I did have a couple of the guys with the staff. What are they called again? They begin with a D. They're like undead, but they're... what the heck are their names?
Not a lich, was it?
Maybe it was. Maybe it doesn't begin with... Maybe I'm mixing up with Dremora. I'm like bouncing between two games. Yeah, those I had like two of those guys floating around too in different areas, but I don't know if that's a
level.
Yeah, it's a leveling thing.
Yeah,
so
what level are you?
I don't remember actually.
Okay.
Yeah, but maybe
I think you start to see them after like level 20 or something.
Yeah, maybe I'm like just above that because I didn't have a lot of them. There was like one here and one in a different area. But yeah, so you get through that area and that's when you get to the next zone, which is Hall of Epochs. And once again, you get to a big chamber. There's three stairwells. And then you look up and you see the, I think there's three statues when you're looking up, a giant one and two smaller ones on the side.
Yeah.
And if you get close to it, it tells you that's where the keyhole is. And if you've never played it before, it will take you 4 to 5 days to figure out how to open the keyhole.
Yes.
Yeah. Fortunately, I got, so I went up and climbed around and was just kind of walking around trying to figure out, okay, where am I supposed to be? And when you get close to the back.
Yeah.
It pops up and says, this looks like it can move. You got to figure out how to open it.
Yep. Yeah, that is helpful because otherwise you're just like, huh?
Yeah. And fortunately, when you know that you've had to go around pushing buttons and pulling levers and stuff, leading up to this. So I saw the door to my left. And so, okay, that must be where I need to go.
Yeah. So you head in there. Yeah. And then you push the button and then you come out and think it's what you're supposed to push, but it's not what you're supposed to push because that just lets you into another area.
Yeah, so then I saw the door that takes you into the next area.
Yeah. And then you got to follow that like all the way down to the end and through a couple chambers and there's a push button. And I actually had another lich in there as well, standing guard over the button.
Unfortunately for me, being as low level as I was, there wasn't really anything that tough.
Yeah, there was mostly skeletons, but there was one of those guys at the end. But I was able to sneak past. So then you come back out and both giant blocks are gone. And, of course, the enemies that were within those blocks are now out. But, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, I knew they were there because I've got that Fin Gleam helmet.
Yes, mm-hmm. Me too.
And so when I'm walking around trying to find out how to move these things, it senses them inside those blocks.
Yeah, same here. I was wearing it too. So I also had gauntlets that showed like 85 feet of life detection. So because I think Fingleam is only like 25 feet. So I was wearing the gauntlets were like 85. So that was kind of helpful. So those
funny
are
funny how it adds those.
Yeah, right. It is helpful.
They all stack.
It is nice because you can see from way further away.
Because once you get the cowl, like you can see every creature in the
Oh yeah, because that's like
in caves and stuff.
That's like what, 125 feet or something.
Yeah, something like that, or maybe 180, depending on your level.
Yeah, it's far. Whatever it is, yeah. It's far. Yeah. So you go into the center of the room. There's a pressure plate that you have to stand on. The statue on the other end of the room, I believe it spins around, right? So you can see, or the keyhole lights up where you're supposed to hit. Yeah,
keyhole lights up.
Yeah. So you need, of course, a bow. If you don't have a bow, there are skeleton archers in the other room that you have to kill and get a bow. But definitely do a test with a non-arrow of extraction. You can see it hit the statue, or I think there's a sound it'll make if you hit it the correct way. It's like a clunk or something. But you can actually see it like deflect off the statue.
Low to the right, or, yeah, you know, high to the left. And fortunately, it does, you know, as long as you don't touch the sticks,
it'll set. Hold
position. So once you hit it once, then you can just switch arrows and as long as you don't bump it, it'll hold that same firing spot.
Yeah, that's what I did. Yeah, I got it set, and then I was like, switch, save, fire. I mean, you can get it back if you miss, but then you got to go search for it.
Yeah, you got to go hunt it down and walk through the room again.
Yeah, so there is that part. Like, miss with the other arrows would be my my recommendation. So then
something about the archery in Oblivion is you have to account for like droop and
there's a lot of drop even just across that room. There's quite a bit of drop. Yeah, so when you go to the other side, be aware the statues will be alive. Yeah.
Did y'all sneak by them, or
I snuck by them? Yeah.
I didn't. I am in sneak all the time.
Yeah, same here.
Unless I need to talk to somebody.
Yep. Yeah, they are alive, but I was sneaking, so it didn't matter. So, because if you notice with your life detection, they will now light up when you go past them.
Ah, okay.
So that's the only reason I knew they were alive. And then of course I looked it up, and they're alive. But I'm pretty sure in the past I've fought them stupidly. So there's that.
Yeah, they're a pain. I remember them being very tough.
They're not like easy enemies from what I remember. So then the doorway opens up. Basically, the statue lifts up. The doorway opens up underneath. And then you head. That's where you head down to. And you emerge in the guard quarters. And there's like a bunch of guards sleeping. And a few of them are leaving the room. You actually really want to be sneaking going through the door regardless. Because if not, you're kind of screwed. Because if you get arrested, you're like, you can't finish the quest, I don't think. So, like, you can't get arrested. That's like, because they just kick you out of the palace and arrest you, and like, you can't get back there again. So you emerge in the quarters. You then have to sneak out into another round corridor. You have to sneak the direction that takes you up. There's one side will take you like to a down door, and the other one takes you to an up door, I believe. But you want to go up. Obviously, the arrow will show you, the quest marker will show you. But so you go up to reach the library level. And when you get to the library level is where you can sneak around and get to the door to enter the library, I believe, but it's locked, right?
Yeah, you can't pick it. It has to be opened by a mechanism.
Yep. So then you got to basically sneak completely 360 or 352 degrees all the way around to right behind the monk that you're looking at through the gate. And there's a lever. If you look through the gate when you get to the door, you'll see the monk and you'll see the lever. Thankfully, everybody on this level is blind also, which is helpful. But you can sneak all the way around, pull the lever from behind him, sneak all the way back around again, and then you can enter the door. So I forgot that you're supposed to sit in the chair and went upstairs and got arrested and had to start over again. Which thankfully I had saved like when we went into the guard chambers, but I was like, oh, jeez. Or no, I got attacked by the moth priests and killed, whatever it was. But yeah, yeah, don't go upstairs and talk to them. Go sit in the chair you're supposed to sit at, right at the table.
Yeah, because yeah, if you talk to them, then they know you're not the lady that they were expecting.
Yeah, yeah, that is the problem. Was it Celia Cameron? So go sit in her chair, and they'll bring you the Elder Scroll. Once you read it, which apparently in Oblivion you can read it and not go blind. So there is that. That's positive. Also, I guess there's some useful items here in this room. There are two shadow scrolls on the bookcase, which are chameleon spells. They give you like 50% chameleon. So like if you need to, for that last part, that's actually probably pretty good when you get to the battle mage and all.
I missed those.
Yeah, I didn't see them either. So I only know that because of the UASP. So. So you go up the stairs, the spiral staircase. There's a door up there. It's a hard lock, I believe, that you have to pick to get through. And then when you come through, the battle mage is kind of circling around the two areas of her chambers, I believe. There's like the area you come into and then like the back room or whatever you would call it, or whichever quarters it is. Did you have to pick the lock in that room too?
Think so.
Not to go from one side.
The door was open.
Yeah, because she's circling around, right?
I never did see her.
Oh, no? Oh, well, that's good. Oh, you didn't see her. Oh, I thought this is where you got kicked out of the Mage's Guild.
I think it was when I killed the guy in, was it Breville?
It's, Evangeline is the woman here that can get you kicked out of the Mage's Guild, too, because she is a member.
Yeah, yeah. She's the head battle mage or whatever at the library, or so I thought. This is where you got kicked out. Yeah, if you kill her.
I didn't kill anybody in this one.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think it was the guy that I killed in Breville.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, because even though there's no blood price, yeah, they're still priced with the Mage's Guilds. So there's that. So if you don't know where to look, go look in the fireplace because that's the way out. Otherwise, you're just like going to look around a lot and not get out anywhere. So I always just jump down with the boots on and then lose the boots. But apparently you can do it without the boots.
Yeah, take off the boots and you can survive the jump anyway a lot of the time.
Yeah, if you have enough health, you know, just fortify your health in some way, or you have a pretty good acrobatics, just take off the boots and you don't have to lose them. I jump, because if you jump down, it's a long fall and then the boots break.
But, yeah, that's what happened to me.
Yeah. So you do lose the boots if you do it that way. So yeah,
the game expects you to lose them for sure, because there are a lot of jumps throughout this quest, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I guess there's a couple. There's also some stuff within that room that you can use to like up your acrobatics and health if you need to. Some wind and stuff. Let's see. There's another alternative is to get arrested in the Imperial Palace.
That's a funny way to do it. But, you know, if they don't take the Elder Scroll, then, you know, you're good. It's funny they don't realize you have it, though.
Yeah.
The whole method of getting it, of like sneaking in and then, you know, just kind of impersonating, you know, and sitting and having the blind moth priest bring it to you. I think that's kind of beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that you're not just sneaking and like pickpocketing it from them. You're actually like tricking them into giving it to you as opposed to stealing it. Regardless of how you do it, you got to head back and, of course, give it to the Gray Fox. So he's back at the house again. And I think he's in the same house in Elven Gardens, right?
Yep.
Once you get there, he's like, all right, thank you. Here's this ring. Go give it to the Countess of Anvil and tell her it's from a stranger.
A stranger.
Yeah. And you're like, huh. Interesting.
Just why would she be suspicious of that?
Yeah. I'm sure as I walk into the court and just give this to her, it all will be fine.
Yep.
So you head down to Anvil. show her.
And he tells you that, you know, she might cry, but she also might get angry.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. She might get angry.
Like, okay, great. Yeah. Just waiting for her to call the guards to kill me.
Seriously. Walking into trap. I mean, what better way for the Gray Fox has proven to be, you know, relatively considerate about his people. But if he wasn't, what better way to, you know, just get rid of you?
Exactly.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be like the perfect, like, oh, here's the thief who stole the ring from the countess and killed her husband. Mm-hmm. And now he's in prison for life and he's saying it was the Gray Fox. Yeah, right. So you show her the ring and she's like, oh, that's from my, it's the wedding ring of my long lost husband who disappeared 10 years ago. And boom, at that moment, stranger guy shows up. He's also, it was the master forger as well that you used earlier, oddly enough. So the Gray Fox is the master forger?
Yes.
I never realized that before. I don't know why I never put that together. Because he's called the stranger when you go to meet him and he does the forging.
Yeah, I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool that they tie that together.
They all look the same.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not super, they're not super distinctive, all the people. But yeah, so he is the master forger as well. And so he, you know, approaches the throne and when he says what Aramir, what Dareloth did about stealing the cow from Nocturnal and all that. And says he's her husband and the Gray Fox. So he uses the, well, he received it from the previous guildmaster, but not Dareloth himself, because that was, what, like 300 years ago or whatever. So
right. No, it's been passed down for ages. And he earned it. And because of the curse that they knew the Elder Scroll to break, he could not lift it. You know what I mean? He was stuck, cursed for no one to remember who he was, which... I mean, what a curse. It did allow him to play many roles in the guild, I'm sure, and do a lot. But, you know, after a while, a person doesn't want to be no one.
Yeah, so. Yeah, because basically it erases your history once you become mm-hmm. the Gray Fox. You are no longer in existence, which is why he's no longer her husband at that point or whatever and been missing for 10 years. But he was the one who realized that the Elder Scroll could break that curse. And by doing so, he's now... recognized by the Countess Umbernox, but he, in order to do so, he has to renounce his life of crime, which I think at that point he's kind of ready to do. Yeah. So then you get the cowl and the title of Gray Fox. The guild has been restored, but your history won't be, your history isn't erased, but history is changed because the curse was lifted, basically.
Yep. Yep. So when you're wearing it, it affects you so that everybody just sees you as the Gray Fox and has no idea who you are. And when you're not, it is fine.
I think it's awesome. If you take it off in front of them, they won't even know that you took it off, right? They mm-hmm. like if you're the Gray Fox, like if you go into a city as the Gray Fox, you will immediately have a bounty. Right. But as soon as you take off the mask, you do not have a bounty. Well, unless you have a bounty. But in general,
the Gray Fox has a bounty.
Yeah, the Gray Fox always has a bounty. You will have whatever bounty you have or have not. So if you don't have a bounty, you won't have one. But I've had this happen in the past where I've taken it off. But I think you have to take it off in the presence of the people, of the guards. Because I've taken it off when I'm away from them but still being pursued. And I still keep getting pursued.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
I don't know if it was a glitch or you actually have to take it off and they have to see it.
I would think more likely a glitch. I mean, you're supposed to be able to do a crime, walk away, take it off, and no one knows it was you. They see it was the Gray Fox.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess they know they're pursuing somebody.
Yeah. That's I think that's what happens.
That could be where it glitches.
Yeah, I think that's what happens. There can be a bit of a glitch that way. Yeah. So
it won't change a bounty, but if they are pursuing you, they're still pursuing you.
Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense. Also, the Count's name is Corvus.
Yes.
You know, of course, a little stereotypical, but kind of cool. And Bethesda liking it, like in the Dishonored series, you know, the main character was Corvo. They like the whole Raven thief thing.
Yep. So you can then travel to the waterfront, head into the Thieves Guild. And upstairs, you go to your quarters and that basically completes everything. What's his name's in there? I can't remember his name. The first guy you come across to enter the Thieves Guild.
Armand Christophe?
Oh, Christophe. Yeah, Armand Christophe. Yeah. Yeah, so you talk to him as the Gray Fox, take off the hood. He'll immediately, it's very fun to mess with him and take it on and off while talking to him. So he goes from praising you as the Gray Fox to just talking to you as a normal guild member over and over if you do that. So, yeah. But, yeah, you get a nice little player home, too, if you're interested in using it down by the waterfront. It basically... in the area where you first meet him, the door there, you go in there and you can enter your guild hall. So
yeah, it's funny, the whole time it's called the Garden of Dareloth, but you don't actually ever get access to the House Dareloth until you finish this.
Yep, until the very end, and then ties it all together, and now you are head of Thieves Guild.
Yay.
And you have a pretty good cowl that crazy.
That's good. It's good for going through alien ruins and for caves sure. and stuff.
Oh, it's great for the alien ruin and like the goblin caves where you can really like see them.
Yeah.
Some of those large like expanses in the center and stuff where like the some area goes down, some is up. There's yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's a nice piece to have. Yeah, I really like the Thieves Guild in Oblivion a lot. The final quest feels super epic, like you're saying, because of how long it takes. And you really have to use a lot of Thieves Guild skills.
Yeah. Yeah, unlike Winterhold or something.
Yeah, yeah. Like you can't, like, yeah, you could do it another way. Like, you could, even if you lockpick it with magic, you're still technically using. A right. Thieves Guild skill, realistically.
Yeah, because you're still breaking in.
Yeah, yeah. Like, whereas in Skyrim, it's just that I have two cats going absolutely insane, by the way, right now. in Skyrim, it's just another, like, dungeon crawl battle the whole way.
Right.
Most of it, you know. Even when
that final battle.
Yeah, and then the final battle is, yeah, you're just fighting, what's his name, as he goes invisible all over the place. You know, which if you have life detection, you can take him out pretty easily. But, yeah, this has felt more Thieves Guild-y. Like, it's a real proper Thieves Guild type quest to finish it off, it felt like.
All the way through, working with the beggars and such. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Skyrim, rebuilding the Thieves Guild does have a lot of the qualities you need. And some of those quests, you know, through, there's a lot of sneaking, but there is a bit more murder through them too.
Yeah.
You know, you do not have that as much here.
Yeah.
And I guess it all goes to the story, you know, working with the Nightingales and Mercer Frey and all that. But in this one, yeah, I think it's a proper quest. One thing I really like about the layout of it, with like a lot of the faction quests, is that there is always that character or two that's a through line all the way through. You know, in this one, like Methedral most of the way, mm-hmm. and then Amuse all the way. You know, that's cool that they do that. Like, they did that a little bit in Skyrim, but the guild quests were shorter. So the closest you actually had was, say, Hadvar or Rayloth in the Civil War quest.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, where they kind of stuck with you for a while. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I like about it, is you recognize the people over and over. And, like, you have to go to the Fences, or you have to go to Skiriva, or what's his name? World Weary or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ongar, the World Weary.
Yeah, World Weary. You have to go to those people regularly to get your supplies or to get, you know, to fence your stuff. So, like, they become...
Plus there's consequences for stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I really love the last two quests, too. They felt, like,
they're
epic
great.
Enough. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say I also want Ongar, the World Weary's life. I mean, dude, I mean, he's always just getting naps. Like, that's all he does. Like,
I'm going to go take a nap. Yeah. Yeah.
Go to the bar. Come home. Sleep it off.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Stuff from people who do all the work for me. Love it.
I think once I found him somewhere other than the bar. Oh. Once.
Was he in between?
He was like walking, like, I don't know. He must leave at a certain point and go like to a house. One time when I went there, he wasn't there. I'm like... Where is this guy at?
Yeah, that's another thing that I do like about Oblivion is, like, if you're walking everywhere, sometimes you'll meet people from the different cities, like heading to like the capital or heading somewhere.
Yeah. Yep, that is true. That is a good point. Yeah, and the cities just feel more especially like Skingrad and stuff are much bigger and more, you know, there's more streets and stuff like that. So oh my God. There's like insanity happening here. Sorry. Like it's they are wired. It is crazy. Yeah, I don't know. I really enjoy it a lot. I really enjoy the in-depth nature of it. And like even the little thing of the stranger being the forger and all that stuff and tying in and it's really, really cool.
Yeah, there's quite a world that they build.
Yeah,
all the quest lines intertwine. And if you're doing the main quest and you're doing, you know, a lot of the other side quests in each city and such, you run into some of these characters for other reasons.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You interact with the town of Skingrad multiple times in various ways.
This is true.
And, yeah.
Or in Anvil, talking with Countess Umbernox, mm-hmm. but I already have a relationship with her. And so I like how intertwined the whole world is.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely feels more intertwined in that way. Whereas, yeah, you come across people from multiple quest lines and different things and different places. Yeah, it's really interesting how that kind of works out.
Yeah, and obviously all Bethesda's games have that, and Skyrim has it to a large extent. But it's like in Skyrim, there's a web of people who are interrelated and then a significant number who aren't.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I feel like with this, it feels like a smaller population in Oblivion. I think counting the NPCs, there are probably just as much. But
right.
But yeah, it just feels a little bit more interwoven at times, at least through the quest line itself.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Even like that one quest with the twins where where one is in one town and the other is another town and they sit there, oh, I saw such and such and he acted like he never knew me and this and that and come to find out that they're twins and then so you finish that quest and then there's more quests. Then there's another quest on top of that. And then there's another quest on top of that with the same people. So once you finish one quest with them, you're not actually done with them a lot of times, which is really nice as well.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, because that one kind of goes in surprising ways later on, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like, yeah, multiple levels to that one. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Dark Brotherhood, too.
That one has a lot of twists and turns.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Insane.
It's another very, very deep one.
Counting up the quests ahead, if there are 14 or so for the Thieves Guild, which did, Dark Brotherhood has over 30, I think.
Oh,
there are
wow.
a lot of quests in there.
Oh, my gosh.
Some side quests and stuff. They're not all needed for the main path.
But yeah, yeah, yeah.
That one takes you all over, too. Like, all over the map.
Oh, it does. For sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, this one took you a good amount of places, but I like that you explored so deep under the Imperial City and all, and basically, mm-hmm. yeah, that like the major heist took place there and like took place in the most prominent part of the city too that you see at every, you know, like at every turn, basically. So
right.
We have finally got it. We've finally done the Thieves Guild. when did we start it? The summer?
I think it was like the first week of September was the first one. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
I think that's still technically summer.
You're right.
I mean, we don't look at it as summer, but I guess technically it's summer. But
yeah.
Yeah.
It is summer for us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's one of the hottest months.
Oh, that's right for you. Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Oh man, I'm waiting for a cat to come just flying across at any moment. Oh gosh. Oh yeah, that was fun. I could probably next time we'll probably get into some Skyrim again. I don't know if anybody's up for Dark Brotherhood. I'm up for doing it maybe next month or something. If that works.
Yeah, I mean, I already accidentally, well, didn't accidentally, I just went ahead and killed the guy at the Inn of Ill Omen.
Oh, did you?
I was walking by, and I'm like, yeah, might as well just take care of it.
There you go. I haven't killed anybody yet. Like that would trigger it. Yeah, that would trigger it. Oddly enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I did in the early part of the Thieves Guild quests.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Or at least I don't recall that I did anyway. I'm pretty sure I didn't. I would have to look at my quest log, but I don't
think I got the visit and I got the Blade of Woe. So.
Oh, did you? Oh, yeah. I don't have the Blade of Woe, so I definitely didn't get the visit. Yeah,
because every time you sleep, that's an opportunity for him to actually show up and take you through the whole thing and give you the Blade of Woe.
Yeah, and I've definitely slept a bunch, so... He has not been around.
It's not easy not to murder somebody.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Because I remember even just doing the main quest, once you hit Kavach, you'll accidentally kill one of the guards.
Oh, that's a good point. I guess because I've only done really the mages and thieves, I haven't really had huge opportunities to do that accidentally.
Right, accidentally. I was going to say, walking down the street is an opportunity if you want it to.
Well, yeah, this is a fair point. Yeah, this is true. Yeah.
This game has me running scared because, I mean, normally, shoot first, ask questions later.
But yeah, no, they will get you.
But
And the fun part is, well, depending on what your description of fun is, but our definition of fun is if once you kill somebody and they start chasing you, they will chase you as long as you're within a certain distance. They will be following you. I think when we were doing the Shivering Isles, what was it? Colin said that he got chased across the entire map.
Yep, through doors and everything else. Nothing stops anyone in this.
Nope.
You're talking about the adoring fan, right?
Yeah. Man.
Well, I know when I've done like the quests in Anvil at a really low level where you have to help the merchant whose house is getting robbed or his business keeps getting robbed or burglarized. There's three guys that go in there and I was getting beat up pretty bad, so I just ran out the door and then the guards helped me finish them off.
Yeah, that's true. You can also kite them to places. That's a good point.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the ship in Anvil, the ghost, the ship that has the ghosts on it, the ghosts will follow you out the door, too. so if you're having trouble, you can bring them on out. Also, if you're having trouble, you can't get away from them because they'll come out. So there's that combination of problems. Yeah. But, yeah. When I got arrested, the vampires followed me through some doors and killed me. I may have had to do that three times. I don't know. Maybe there was another time I did too where I got killed. But yeah, they just come through the doors and they find you wherever you are.
Oh yeah.
Well, I have a calm moment of cats. What's been going on? Jess, what you got going on? What's been going down?
Oh, well, we're currently just setting up the next Fallout feed roundtable. Looks like we're going into New Vegas. So probably in a couple weeks, we'll be back in there.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
You got Andrew to go into New Vegas, huh?
Well, this is interesting. So honestly, Michael, you got Andrew to go into New Vegas.
Oh, did I?
So here's how. Ray jumping in and playing Oblivion on the Xbox, getting used to it. And Andrew saying, well, I have time. I'm caught up. I can join the roundtable a little bit. So for this Oblivion roundtable, he went back and played some Oblivion.
Yeah.
And, made it pretty far. And he finished the entire main story at just, a low level, which still cracks me up. But he's like, maybe these retro controls aren't as bad as I thought. Maybe I can do it. So, starting this roundtable got him to say, nice. I'll try New Vegas again.
Has he done? He played three, right? You guys did a three round table.
Yes, okay. under protest.
Under protest.
No, it was great. We did three almost. It's about 2 years ago now that we did Fallout 3 again. But yeah, that was great. And I think Gila will get more into New Vegas. So we're getting that set up. That's exciting. Besides that, you know, I'm just streaming over on UWN, doing Fallout Feed and all the usual stuff.
You still in No Man's Sky, Ray?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we're just waiting for, you know, it's been several months since the last new release they have put out. So we're anxiously awaiting something in February for some new content. So they, over the holidays, they did a redo of the first four expeditions. And so that's wrapping up next week. And so should be something else coming out from them pretty quick. Definitely a lot of fun in space.
Awesome. Still playing ESO on.
Actually, I'm starting to slow down a little bit on ESO.
Oh, yeah.
I just kind of log in, do my main quests, and do some dailies and stuff, basically. And then I've been trying to get into... That's why I've been playing like Skyrim and enjoying Oblivion. Did a little bit of... what is that? Dragon Age.
Ooh, which one?
Number three.
Inquisition.
Yeah.
Wonderful game. Once you get used to the controls.
Oh, I played it when it first came out because I was playing Skyrim and Origins came out, and I saw like news articles, and I'm like, oh, I remember this. This is like Baldur's Gate. So I played a lot of Origins. Only one I didn't play was 2, just because a lot of the reviews, but people said that it's actually pretty good. So
just repetitive. There are 2 issues with it, but other than that, it's good.
Yeah, they said it's a little more linear too, right?
A bit more linear, yeah. You go chapter by chapter by chapter, but within those, you can do things in some orders. It's really just they use the same maps over and over again. It's like, think about the dungeons and caves in Oblivion and how mix and match they are.
Yeah.
It's even more so than that. Gotcha. So tons of great stories all set in like the same cookie cutter dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, because so that sounds kind of like, what's that? That Assassin's Creed kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like that, which I didn't really enjoy, but I love the Dragon Age story. So since it's on Game Pass, I may just pick it up and play it.
Oh, that's good. Go. Turn the difficulty down so combat's not a slog. And you know, if you're in it for the story, oh my goodness, the story's there.
Yeah.
And it connects Origins and Inquisition very well.
Hmm.
For sure. Yeah, because I'm wondering what the hell happened with Ileana and all that, because something had to happen in the middle. So, yeah, and I'm just kind of looking for other games. I've been playing a little bit of Pokemon Brilliant Pearl, and looking at the new Pokemon that's coming out, Arceus.
Oh. Yeah, Legends of Arceus looks wonderful.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like Breath of the Wild style. So I may have to pick that up for the Switch. So definitely trying to broaden my horizons a little bit. I've been stuck in ESO land for a little too long.
Oh, gosh.
It's a great game, and there's so much to do, but...
Yeah. Speaking of Game Pass, the Hitman latest trilogy hits Game Pass on January 20th. I played it
all
on
those maps.
Yeah, that's, I played it on awesome. PS. I played it on the last one on PS5, which was great. But yeah, I previous to that, I played it on Xbox. But it's like a it's not quite a first person shooter, right? Because it's, I mean, it is, but it's more because it's so stealthy. You're not like, you can run around and just kill everyone, but
it's more of a third person stealth game.
Yeah, it's more gamified. Yeah, yeah.
It's like Thieves Guild Quest with no blood price.
Yeah, it's almost like
I guess Dark Brotherhood technically.
Yeah, it's like puzzle solving basically. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's more puzzle solving, I would say, than, you know, strategy and puzzle solving. But yeah, that hits on the 20th. Dave, of course, from doing the McBeta journals back in the day and all that, he's back in Skyrim again. He's working on a new journal, he said. Nice. Set before Dragonborn and Dawnguard. So it's Miskasia's vendetta with the Thalmor and her Khajiit companion. So that's he sent me some test audio of that, actually.
Okay. So. Yeah, I remember he had a sibling that went to ESO.
Right? Yeah, that was pretty cool. He did took a character from Skyrim into ESO.
Yeah.
So, like, he did a story where he did that he was playing. They took the character between the two games.
He's definitely a really good storyteller.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for this one. But, yeah, he sent me the test audio for that. So, but, yeah, that's all I got. I guess until next time, probably be some anniversary edition and modding next time would be my guess.
Yep, we'll get Victor back in again.
Yeah.
Revisiting how much time we've been in Skyrim. Haven't been playing as much the last couple of weeks, like I said last show, but excited to delve in.
Yeah, I played a lot because I had COVID this week, so.
Right.
I literally had nothing else to do. Yeah. So, very mild case, of course, but thankfully. But yeah, so it was a lot of Skyrim. all right. I got my cursor in the wrong place. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Take care.
So long.
Farewell.
Avita saying goodbye.
That's waiting
for you.